Welcome to an all-new episode of Jet Nation Radio. Dennis Agapito and Tyson Roche give their opinions on the latest Jets news.
How about our offense? When are we going to put it together? When are we going to put it together? Can we not run the ball down their throats every snap? Can we not throw it any time we want to throw it? Can we have fun? You're damn right. I demand that we have fun.
And now here they are, your hosts, Dennis and Tyson.
Good evening, Jet Nation. This is Dennis Agapito, and thank you for joining us for the first episode of Jet Nation Radio for the 2014 season. We took a few weeks off there during the playoffs and the wonderful Super Bowl that they had great weather and it snowed 10 inches the next day. How lucky did the NFL get? But, you know, this is an interactive show, and it only really works with you, the audience. So if you want to reach us, you can. It's on Twitter, at Jet Nation Radio. You can give us a phone call. The telephone number is 646-716-4697, and our wonderful switchboard operator, Steve, is eagerly awaiting your call. I know it's been a number of weeks. I'm sure a lot of you want to touch on a lot of the topics that are facing our New York Jets, but I want to bring on my good friend and co-host, Mr. Tyson Roush. So, Tyson, welcome back. Welcome back to Jet Nation Radio. It's great to have you aboard again. This is Tyson Roush, TRoush21 on Twitter, and he's also a CBS Sports contributor. So, Tyson, how have you been over these last couple of weeks? Did you enjoy your little vacation?
Dennis, I'm glad to be back, first of all, but I definitely enjoyed it. I mean, watch some playoff football, look for some things the Jets need, and obviously the Super Bowl is a huge letdown, but I'm glad to be back. There's a lot of things going on at Jets Nation, so we started off our show with Rex Ryan with a little speech there, so I guess you want to touch real quickly on Rex Ryan for the coach of the Jets. He got a contract extension. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's funny because we had discussed this a little bit before, you know, we left for the year, I was very of the mindset that they really needed to give him 2 years, and you thought maybe even nothing or a year. Now, they kind of came to a compromise where it's a little bit incentive-driven. He's definitely under contract with 2015. I don't really know what the incentives are. I've heard that maybe he makes the playoffs or a certain number of wins. He'll get 2016 guaranteed. So kind of a middle ground there. I think that was all right. I mean, a lot of the beat reporters have just said it's a one-year deal. But you look at somebody like Mike Smith and Tom Dimitroff, who's the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. They both got one-year deals, meaning extended to 2015, and that's it. So no chance of them to get to 2016, no matter what they do. And an early prediction here, I think Mike Smith's going to get fired at the end of this season. How do you like that? You know me and my bold predictions. But I thought it was fair, the contract they gave him, a little bit of middle ground there, so he's not a complete lame duck there, and I was very happy that he got the extension he did.
Yeah, you know, Dennis, and this year applies for me, for Itzik and Rex Ryan. This is my show me year for both of them. Because last year, if we're honest about things, John Idzik did no-brainer moves. The cap moves he made were no-brainers. Basically, everything he put in place were no-brainer moves. Now, this year, he has cap space and draft picks. This year, Rex doesn't have the talent excuse, or he shouldn't have the talent excuse, because they're going to upgrade their roster significantly with free agency and the draft. So now it's like last year there was a lot of built-in excuses where, you know, three new coordinators, the lack of talent, lack of resources, those excuses are all gone now. So I'm glad Rex is still here. I mean, he kept his coaching staff, that's fine. I mean, you know, Dennis Thurman and Morning Leg, that's fine. But now it's like show me. Last year you overachieved in the eyes of many. This year, there's high expectations now. So now, I mean, don't you think that, don't you have higher expectations this year than last year?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that 8-8 would probably get Rex fired going into 2014. He has to show improvement in far as the entire team. You're right, should be a more talented team out there. The players who were rookies and should develop more. D. Milner hopefully plays more like he played towards the end of the year throughout the whole season. So definitely, but I do like the fact that Rex Ryan can earn himself money for 2016 under his current contract. I just gave an example. Mike Smith cannot. So, I mean, you know, a lot of the beat reporters want to say, well, look, it was a one-year deal, this and that. It was in some ways, but he has an opportunity to prove himself. And Rex does need to prove himself. But I think we all kind of under the same impression that it was good that Rex came back. There is one coaching change, the major coaching change. Now, there were a lot of Jet coaches, like you mentioned, that were not under contract, and most of them came back. But the special teams coach, Ben Kawica, he moved on to the Washington Redskins. And the Jets hired Thomas McGahee from LSU. And, you know, is it Odom? Odom Beckham from he's one of the punt returners,
right,
who's from LSU.
Yep.
Maybe the Jets might be looking at. He did a very good job with him. He had against TCU, he had a return and a kickoff. He also had a short field goal attempt that he returned like 109 yards. So he's kind of had a pretty good record down there at LSU. He's been with the New York Giants, McGahee. He's been with the Broncos. I mean, he has a pretty impressive resume. So I thought that was a real good hire there by the Jets, getting McGahee to be the special teams coach. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I like it. They're kind of like an outside-the-box kind of hire, which is kind of cool. And then it just comes down to now it's like the time will tell. But the other thing, too, Dennis, and this is one thing that Mike Westhoff kept saying last year that kind of got under the radar, was the Jets lack, like, special teams players. Like, you know, like, guys, like, hungry guys, like, you know, like, gunners. And he always said, like, you can only get so much out of the talent that you have. And he's like, he thought Kyle Wicked did a decent job, but they just lack talent on special teams. So hopefully this year with the overhauling of the, you know, with some free agency and draft picks, you know, they'll have a chance to be better with a new coach and with new talent.
Yeah, well, like I said, McGahee certainly has the resume for it. You know, they brought back Carl Dunbar. That was a no-brainer. I mean, look at the job that he did with that defensive line. And let's just get to this real quick before we forget. Congratulations goes out to Sheldon Richardson for winning Defensive Rookie of the Year. We all knew that it was going to be a tight vote, and between him and Kiko Alonso, really great that he won. And I had an opportunity to speak with Sheldon a few times. He really is a humble guy. He's terrific, and it's the funny thing is that day, that Saturday, I had a chance to speak with Joe Klecko, former defensive lineman, and I asked him if he thought that Sheldon Richardson would win Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he said he'd win it hands down. And I was kind of like, you know, I said, oh, well, he thinks he's going to win it, but I don't know Kiko Alonso, but it turns out that Joe was right, and, you know, congratulations to Sheldon.
Yeah, no doubt. This is exciting times, Dennis. I mean, if you have Sheldon Richardson, and we'll go into the Wilkerson contract later, but they have young linemen, Copels. I mean, it's very exciting. Like, the sky's the limit for this group. So hopefully they can add some more talent to defense. This could be an elite group, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's good that they kept most of the coaching staff in place. You know, very little turnover. It goes to show that they want to be here, that they're happy the direction the team's going, the coaching they're getting. And, you know, we're going to get into a lot of the resources stuff in a little while. We have a lot of things to go over. You talked about the Wilkerson contract. We do have a caller on the line, and it's our first caller of 2014, and it's our buddy Mike from Port Jefferson, so I'm going to bring him on. So, Mike, Dennis,
good evening,
Tyson
guys.
Here with
good
Jet
evening.
Nation Radio. Good evening to you, sir. How are you?
Another year, I'm telling you. It's outstanding to hear your voices again.
don't
well, thank you very much, Michael.
He's going to fluff us up for something.
It's good to hear from you. I'm telling you, it's just wonderful to hear the Jets Nation again. Like I said, I was getting bored. I'm starting to hear about spring training. I was getting an allergic reaction to baseball. I can't get enough of my football. So between the combines and the OTAs and the draft, I'm just like, you know what, the time can't come for September, you know, quick enough.
So, Mike, what do you think? I've been dying to ask you this, Mike. What do you think about Rex's contract? Were you glad that he stayed? Like, do you like the way he set it up, or what are your thoughts?
No, I think it's exactly what it's supposed to be. Give him a little bit of a leash, and you know, see what he can do. But it's not giving the whole kit and caboodle. It's you're going to give him something for what he did, but you're going to also say, listen, if you fall on your face again, we're not going to, you know, we're going to go in another direction, and we're not going to make it so that it's going to be financially detrimental to the team. I think they did it absolutely right, and go from there. Like I said, it showed to the players that, okay, we believe in this coach, so he's got the locker room, and I believe that Itzik is going to be behind him. But if he stumbles again and we don't make the playoffs, what else can you say? That's going to be how many years in a row now we're not going to make the playoffs. So you have to do what you have to do.
My question for you is, Dennis and I just talked about this a little bit, was like last year was kind of like there's a lot of built-in excuses. Rookie quarterback, lack of resources. I mean, you name the excuse, we could have probably put it in there. So do you agree, like this year, a lot of those excuses have to go away. I mean, you have cap space, you have draft picks, you kept your coaching staff for the most part. I mean, are your expectations
higher? There's no excuses. There's exactly. No excuses whatsoever. There is no excuses whatsoever. If he does not do it with this team and the resources that he has and the money that we have under the cap, there is no excuse. There really, and I will be the first one to say, I'll be on the first one on the line to say, listen, Rex, you either had to put up or shut up. And like I said, fine, you had the excuses. You had the rookie quarterback. You had the personnel that we didn't have. You didn't have enough money under the cap. Fine, it's over and done with. You've got the money, you've got the draft picks, you've got the resources. You can't say another word anymore. That's it. End of story. We better start playing playoff football. I want to see at least a home playoff game, at least one this year.
See, Mike, you're setting your sights really high. Don't we all, especially since they raised ticket prices for the lower level. Mike, listen, I got a question for you, and then we're going to wrap up. We really appreciate you calling in to Jet Nation Radio tonight and, you know, starting off our year, you know, on a positive note. But out of the – just your opinion, just if you were John Idzik and you had an opportunity to sign a free agent wide receiver, just give me the name of the guy that you would sign and why. And I understand the money would be a factor, but, you know, almost any really talented wide receiver out there on the free agent market is going to cost you. So I'm going to give you carte blanche. Just name your guy and why.
As of right now, I would go with somebody who's going to be – I think we can get him on somewhat of a cheaper end is Jeremy Maclin.
And is that because he played with Morningwig?
Morningwig, but also he's a ball hawk. He likes to get his nose dirty. He's not afraid of going over the middle. His yards at the catch, which we need to stretch the field more. He's not the biggest body in the world. I think he's like 6'1", 6'2", or a little bit taller. But that is one of my top ones. I would like Sanders as well, but Sanders, something about him. He doesn't seem the character that I would want on the team. He seems like when things get tough, he would probably go in the opposite direction. And I just don't.
All right,
I don't want
so
that.
Like,
on,
so you like Maclin. You like Maclin, even though he's coming off the ACL. You might be able to get him a little bit cheaper with a 1-year deal. So you kind of like Maclin. He knows the system. He knows Morningwig's system. All right. Well, that's a name that's definitely been floated out there. But Mike, listen, we're going to let you run. We really appreciate you calling in to Jet Nation Radio tonight, as always. And you know. Go Jets. This is just the start of the run to Super Bowl 49.
Great job, guys. Have a good night.
You take care, Mike. Thank you. And that was a pretty good segue there by Mike because, Manish Mehta reported this, you know, like surprise, that the Jets were interested in Jeremy Maclin and Emmanuel Sanders. Now, I've been a pretty big fan of Sanders since I watched him flip into the end zone, just in general. I mean, remember the Patriots, Tyson, tried to get Sanders as a restricted free agent. They actually signed Sanders, the Patriots did, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers matched the offer, and since he was a restricted free agent, the Steelers were able to retain him. I happen to like Sanders personally, not that I don't like Jeremy Maclin. He is coming off the ACL, but, you know, I like what Sanders gives you, the run after the catch. He can go deep. He does a lot of different things, and watching him in that Pittsburgh game, when I was sitting in my seat, I was impressed by Sanders. But what do you think about what Mike had to say on those two receivers there? Or is there somebody else maybe you have in mind?
Well, Dennis, the first thing I have to say is if Manish Mehta reported the Jets are interested in Maclin and Sanders, that means the team likes Golden Tate and Jacoby Jones. I mean, the first thing we got to realize is last year John Idzik caught everybody by surprise with almost every signing. So I'm not going to believe one article written with any kind of speculation because the beat writers have no clue. That's the first thing. Second thing, you can tell I'm fired up, dude. I'm so good to be back here, man. The one thing with Jeremy Maclin is that Philly.com did two different reports on him saying that he's going to re-sign with the Eagles. And nobody's confirmed it's a lot of speculation, but they're saying that they're pretty much – they're really going after trying to keep him. I like Maclin. I like him a lot, actually. But the concern is coming off the ACL, do you give him a show-me kind of deal, like – we'll give you a year based on centers with an option for a second year. You know, I kind of don't know about that. But, Dennis, before I answer my question, the thing is everybody's looking for a number one receiver, and I don't think there's one right now that's in the free agent market. You may say maybe like Akeem Nicks if he's healthy and motivated and can get his act together. But, like, I don't want to spend money. Like, I don't want to give Eric Decker $9 million a year.
No.
To upgrade the receivers, instead of trying to find this number one elite guy, I wouldn't mind finding two very good receivers, or good receivers. Like, give me, you know, baseline with salary. Like, say, give me a Jacoby Jones and a Golden Tate. Give me, you know, like, just upgrade the receiver position with these guys, the proven route runners that are able to make plays. Stephen Hill, but we have Jeremy Curley, and that's really it. I mean, David Nelson's good, but you want guys that can catch the ball and make plays and be consistent. So instead of breaking the bank from Eric Decker, which I don't think is worth it, I go down, I look at some, you mentioned Sanders. I like Sanders as well. I mean, Golden Tate obviously has some benefits. He's a returner. There's other guys out there, and I hopefully Izzik explores all options and doesn't, you know, a lot of fans get enamored by names, but there's other guys out there you can pursue. And the one that Hakeem Nicks is a guy that I'm curious about because he's coming off a terrible year. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. He was healthy last year, but he gets hurt a lot. But, guys, he's got a world of talent.
Look, I think that Izzik will, use a little Tannenbaum expression, look under every rock. But here's the thing that I think Izzik won't do. Put a round peg in a square hole. You know, a lot of people are saying about Jimmy Graham, now he might be franchised, probably will be, even though the Saints have some salary cap issues. But everybody says, well, we need a tight end, so let's get Jimmy Graham. Now, Jimmy Graham is a phenomenal athlete, don't get me wrong. But, you know, what are you looking to do with your offense? Is Jimmy Graham what you need in your offense? And, again, he's playing under Sean Payton and with Drew Brees. I mean, he'll give you more production than what you had last year at tight end, but are you better off with the Jets drafting a tight end and bringing in a Scott Chandler, going out, getting an Emmanuel Sanders, and here's a name for you I'm just going to throw out there who is still under contract but could be a cap casualty, a guy like Miles Austin. Now, I know he's hurt a lot. But here's the thing. If you're going to bring in two veteran guys, you know, Sanders – I like Sanders. I'm going to be first to admit it. He's going to get a big contract. But a guy like Miles Austin is not going to get a big contract. And if you draft a receiver as a developmental guy and you have a guy like Austin, like a low-risk, high-reward signing, you get what you get out of him while you develop the rookie. You know, you work him in packages, this and that. Because we know, you know, the draft, it's a crapshoot. You don't know. And people say, well, draft this, draft that, boom, boom, boom. But it's not like, you know, going to the store and buying eggs and milk. Sometimes guys take a little bit of time to develop, a la D. Milner, or maybe you get a Sheldon Richardson. And so, you know, you get a whole mixed bag. I look at the draft like sifting for gold. You know, you throw it in there, and you sift it, and you come out with some gold nuggets. So I think if the Jets are going to go sign two free agent wide receivers, one of them could be big dollar. The other one could be a low-risk, high-reward kind of signing, like a Miles Austin guy, if he gets cut by the Cowboys, which he looks like he might.
Dennis, we're definitely sharing a brain on that one because the minute I saw that he may get cut, I'm like, he'd be a perfect kind of candidate for the Jets. He's from New Jersey. I mean, it is a lot of things, and he's been there, done that. He's made some big plays. He's proven that he can be an efficient offense. So he's definitely a candidate. But guys like that, like, just because we have all this salary cap money doesn't mean we spend like drunken sailors. I mean, you make smart signs. I mean, you spend your money, but you make it smart. You have reason behind it. And you don't need a ton of risk. You know what I mean? Like, that's – like, a guy like Decker scares me. Some of these guys are like, oh, you know, $8 million, who cares? Well, I care because I'd better have two $4 million a year receivers that are, you know, good and then put that money towards safety or outside linebacker. You know, like, spread the money around. I mean, we got to upgrade a lot of positions, and let's not, you know, let's look at everything. And tight end is interesting, Dennis. Tight end is a very interesting thing. Like, do you bring back Jeff Cumberland or do you just say, you know what, it's time for us to move on and look at somebody else? I mean, like a Dennis Tenna – or like a JerMichael Finley, a Brandon Pettigrew. I mean, what do you think about tight ends?
Well, at first I want to get the phone number out, and just anyone wants to jump into the conversation here, feel free. It's 646-716-4697. Please hit 1 when prompted. Tight end is interesting to me because, you know, do you want to break the bank on a tight end? First of all, is there really a guy out there? I think Jimmy Graham gets franchised. You want to break the bank on a Dennis Pitta and really make him your main guy? Or do you – I like Scott Chandler just because of this. I think you can give him a reasonable deal, bring him in. He's a tall guy, good red zone target, and then go into the draft and draft yourself a tight end. And you know what? I would allow Cumberland to go – now, Cumberland, I believe, is the unrestricted free agent this year. And I would allow him to go hit the open market. And you know what? He's not going anywhere. Yeah, he's unrestricted. He's not going anywhere, and I would give him his minimum and say come back to the Jets, and he's a serviceable number three tight end. So you draft a guy, you bring in a Scott Chandler, who you could keep. Let's say you sign Scott Chandler to a three-year deal. He's 29. I mean, you could keep him for the 3 years. you're rookie, now you're developing, then rather than bringing in a Brandon Pettigrew and saying, well, you're the main guy and we're going to draft a late-round rookie, I think that's kind of the route that I would go. But, yeah, it's very interesting tight end. It really is, because there isn't really a guy that you say there, wow, that's really a home run.
Yeah, like I see, for me, like a guy like Jimmy Graham is never going to happen. So it's like Pitta is interesting, obviously, if the Ravens can afford to keep him. JerMichael Finley has always been a guy I've liked, but, like, just for fantasy purposes, he drops so many passes, he frustrates you. So, like, I didn't watch
him
hard game. Yeah, and it's like he's like an enigma. So then it's like, but there's other options out there. So, like, I like Scott Chandler. I mean, there's names out there, but it's just, here's a name for you, Dennis, Dustin Keller.
Yeah, Dustin Keller. I was just thinking, you know, somebody mentioned that to me today, Dustin Keller. And, again, he really had that serious. Here's a name for you, Fred Davis. And now here's the thing. Fred Davis is suspended for a few games. But you know what? Again, you get him cheap. You let him sit out his four-game suspension. And then you bring him in. I mean, there are a lot of options here. And you talk about salary cap and this kind of thing and spending like drunken sailors. And I agree with you 100%. I don't think that Idzik is cheap at all. But I see his game plan, because when you're a general manager, what you do is you set up your projections. You know, you have next year and the year after and 3 years, and where am I going to be with my salary cap? Now, this year the Jets have, you know, after they make their moves, they're going to have what I like to refer to as a clean cap, meaning that they have a certain number of players under contract and they're under the cap. They didn't necessarily carry over a lot of money to give them cap space. You see, the Miami Dolphins did that. They're going to have a lot of cap space. They're carrying a lot of money over with them. But they're also carrying big contracts. And, again, were the Dolphins pretty aggressive in free agency last year?
Absolutely.
And did they make the playoffs?
No, they did not.
No, how about the Dream Team? Remember them? Were they aggressive in free agency? And they didn't make the playoffs either. You see, I'm a fan of free agency because it only costs you money. And if you have money, you plug holes in free agency. But you can't build your team through free agency. You have to build your team through the draft. And right now, the Jets are kind of getting a little doos, a little mixed bag. But here's Isaac's philosophy. I can get X, Y, and Z free agent in here, carry over money in the next year, and that money gets put on top of my salary cap. It's like extra money. And then he'll kind of use up the contract with the guaranteed money by going above the cap setting, not above the adjusted cap, understand, with the carryover. And then he'll get to a point where he can cut fat contracts that have no guaranteed money left in it and have a clean cap again and start the process over. So he definitely wants to carry money over into next season to give him some flexibility. So I don't see them going out and spending all this money in free agency. I see them looking at a certain budget and then going there. But, you know, maybe one guy we want to get into, because I think we're all maybe just quickly about Sanchez. I hear this a lot. Mark Sanchez is not renegotiating his contract to stay with the Jets, nor is he renegotiating his contract to allow the Jets to trade him. Tyson, would you agree?
Mark Sanchez is a goner. It's just, I'm counting down the days. I think most Jet fans are. I mean, this, it's over. $8.3 million they save if they cut him. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Then we got Santonio Holmes. He's, you know, is there a slim chance he could take a big, huge pay reduction? Sure, but I think that he's probably a goner too. So, you know, you're going to save that money. Now, Antonio Cromartie. My opinion is this, and everybody kind of knows this, and this $9.5 million that he's owed next season. And he's owed a $5 million roster bonus on March 13th that he will never see. By his own admission, he said he had a bad year. He knows he's never going to see that money. So, this is what I'm hearing through the grapevine, Tyson. I'm hearing that the Jets are working with Cromartie to actually extend him and change his number, the money, his new money. Again, he has some money on that you just can't get rid of. It's dead money, no matter how you look at it. It's on the cap. No, you can't get rid of it. But to lower that $9.5 million salary that he's going to make down and take his cap number from about $15 million to about $9 million, and then add a couple of years onto his contract, and if they want to keep him in 2015 and 16, they can. If they want to release him, they have the means to take the dead money hit. It will be less. That's what I'm hearing is going to happen. They want Cromartie back. They like his leadership. I know he had a down year last year, but the hip doesn't need surgery, et cetera. So what are your feelings on Cromartie and his contract?
I mean, if it goes the way you explained, I would agree to it. But to me, it comes down to how much you pay him. I mean, as long as he's not getting paid like a number one corner, because in my eyes, those days are done. I mean, I agree. I can understand why they want to keep him. I mean, he's still a high-level corner. I mean, he's a great mentor to, you know, Darren Walls and Kyle Wilson and all these guys. It's just, to me, it comes down to money, Dennis. I mean, what, as long as they pay him, you know, like, they cut the cap, cap number, and they pay him, but just don't break the bank for him. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, what would you give him, Dennis? Like, what are you thinking? How much per year?
I don't know if I'm going to say per year, because I don't really think about going forward. I'm saying this year, I was saying he could make $6 million. That's what I'm saying. He would make $5 million this year, guaranteed. This would be, he'll only play the season out. With incentives, he could make six. Again, if you cut, if you're like, well, cut Cromartie, saves $9.5 million, but you have to replace him. Who are you replacing him with, and how much is that player going to cost you? Are you going to draft a player and have a rookie in there? Again, I think I would be comfortable with a $5 to $6 million salary for Cromartie, and again, I'm giving a little bit of the signing bonus, so I'm spreading that money out. That's how I'm lowering the cap hit down. That's why he's getting an extension. So then give him a little bit of a signing bonus and spread that money out. But he's going to get $5 or $6 million new money, but he's going to have about a $5 or $6 million less of a cap hit this year. That will give the Jets a little bit more breathing room to go out in a free agency. So that's what I'm hearing. Again, that to me would be the best maneuver. Would you agree with that, or do you think that's too much money?
No, I definitely agree with that. Because right now you figure a top-level corner is probably averaging, what, $9 million a year or so, or $8.5
million. Yeah, but it's going down.
Yeah, forget Revis. Yeah, so the smart GMs are paying, you know, $8.5 $9 million a year. So if you're giving Cromartie six, that's perfect. That's exactly the kind of sign you want to have for this team. That makes a lot of sense to me. So you figure, when you dealt with those three guys, Dennis, the one guy I want to talk to you about, and this, when the article came out about Mohammed Wilkerson's not going to hold out, I immediately thought of you. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, first of all, he's not Revis. The contracts are apples and oranges. I'm like, what better guy to explain everything than numbers? So, Dennis, can you please explain Mohammed Wilkerson's contract and how he's not holding out, and there's a good reason why?
Well, we've actually gone over this in past shows, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I'll just quickly lay this out. If you go on to JetNation.com on the right-hand side, there's actually a column I did in November about Wilkerson's contract and about the fifth-year option and about what happens moving forward with him. Basically, here's the difference between Darrelle Revis and Wilkerson. And I hear this a lot about from people about being fair, he deserves more money. Look, what if he steps on the field and hopefully not has a career-ending injury? You'd be glad he didn't sign the long-term deal. But anyway, the fact is this. The Jets could control Mo Wilkerson very easily through the 2017 season without ever giving him another contract. So they have a lot of leverage here. So if Mohammed Wilkerson wants more money in 2014, he's going to have to give something up. You know, this is still a business. It's still a salary cap league. And, you know, he's not getting to unrestricted free agency and having other teams bid on him. So that's first and foremost. He knows that, and his agent knows that. Second is this. If he holds out for a new contract, he can be fined $30,000 every day he misses training camp. And if he holds out within 30 days of the start of the regular season, he loses a season towards free agency. So that would make his position even worse. So, you know, he really doesn't have any leverage. Holding out would probably be a terrible idea. I'm sure he wants more money, but you know what? If the Jets and his representation decide to do something, it's going to be on the Jets' terms. Otherwise, I definitely think that moving into 2015, there's a much better chance he gets his contract then.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they start the season with him not having a new contract and they work something out during the season. But
yeah,
you know,
I thought that too.
Yeah, like that, I don't see, like, when I saw those headlines, I'm like, this is a joke. And Wilkerson handled it perfectly, saying, I'm not going to hold out. I mean, trying to avoid this whole circus, this media circus. But, I mean, I think they're going to get him done. I think he will be here for a substantial amount of time. But I think it's not a high priority for the Jets. I mean, it's just, I think it'll get done, but just not right this second.
You know, you got guys like in the same position like J.J. Watt, A.J. Green, Julio Jones.
Yep.
I mean, they were drafted a little higher, so their tender for their fifth year is a little bit higher. But they're kind of in the same boat. J.J. Watt, what would he be making on the open market? Not what he's going to make next year or even the year after that if he played out the contract the way it is. So this is new territory for the new CBA that was signed in 2011, and we're just going to have to see how teams play it. And I think that John Idzik needs to set a precedent here that, look, first-rounders, you play out your 4 years, maybe we give you this tender, and then we go from there. That might be a standard operating procedure as far as Mo Wilkerson goes, but he handled it the right way. Look, it is apples and oranges compared to Darrelle Revis. If Darrelle Revis had been on the Jets in 2013. Right now, he would be heading to unrestricted free agency, not being able to be tagged, nothing. He would be a gone. He would be gone. Mo Wilkerson isn't going anywhere. He will be a Jet for a long time, as long as he continues to play at this kind of level. Tyson, I do want to bring a friend of ours onto the show, and I have a little music to bring him on to. So, you know, I gotta play this one. And it's our buddy Jude from North Carolina. So, Jude, welcome back. Dennis and Tyson here at Jet Nation Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
What's up, Jude?
Not much, really. Hope things are going well.
So what do you think, Jude? You got Rex back in place. The coaches are back in place. So what do you think about this offseason?
Okay, well, I guess I'll try to go in chronological order. With Rex, I really like the fact that we extended him. It's better to extend him than to have him on a lame duck contract. And if honestly, it's for the best for the Jets. I feel as though we need some sort of stability in the organization. Having the coach, he would be here for, I believe, 6 seasons and 5 years now, which is a good amount of stability. Put some pressure on him to make the playoffs or at least have a respectable record as in 10-6 or 11-5, but for the most part, it's a good idea, and I really like the idea, and I feel as though we would be a lot better next year.
But see, Jude, but before we go into that, do you agree, though, that he enters this season with not many excuses? I mean, last year there's a lot of built-in excuses, but this year, I mean, even though there's uncertainty with Geno, but, I mean, there really shouldn't be too many excuses this year, correct?
Nope, excuses. Unless everyone gets injured on the team or something, he'll really have very, very few excuses for not doing well. So we can't have many of those games who come out listless and just lose like 49-5 or something like that. We have to, at the very least, compete every game and try to get to, I want to say, 10 wins to assure him more job security. You know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely agree. I mean, and what is your outlook with free agency? Like, who are some of the guys you're targeting for free agency?
Well, I think, I mean, I know I got slaughtered for this on Twitter quite a bit, but Anquan Boldin would be a good. I know everyone's going to say, oh, he's old and everything, but I mean, without Anquan Boldin for San Francisco, they don't do quite as well. Without Anquan Boldin for the Ravens, they probably don't do quite as well there either. So I would like him, makes all the catches, all the plays, all that stuff. Golden Tate's another intriguing option. I mean, I don't want to overpay him, but he's a good player. Only thing is, sometimes he is prone to relatively.
What kind of contract would you give Anquan Boldin?
I will say this: I'm not very good with numbers and contract numbers like Dennis is. So, just a reasonable size contract. Don't underpay him, but don't overpay him.
Like, what are you saying, like, 3 years, $15 million, something like, you go from, like, $5 million a year, or, like, how much?
Oh, yeah, $5 million, yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, so you have him, Golden Tate. What about tight ends, or is there anybody else you're kind of looking at, or are you just kind of focused on receivers?
With tight ends, there really wasn't anyone realistically to get. I mean, people say Jimmy Graham, I highly doubt Jimmy Graham's going to enter free agency, so that probably wouldn't be much of a discussion, but there's really no one else out there for tight end. We don't need running back. I know a name that just totally around on safety a lot is Darius Byrd, if I pronounce the name correctly.
Yeah, Darius Byrd.
So.
But here's my Jude, I was so glad you called in for that. Here's my question for you. One of the biggest questions for most people are, okay, Geno Smith's here, but we've got to bring somebody else in to either push him or be his backup. Are there any quarterbacks you'd like to see the Jets bring in other than Matt Sims?
Oh, well, I am so glad you asked me that because I think with the whole Matt Castle thing, I think he would be the perfect quarterback to come to the Jets. He has done fairly well in all his venues. I mean, he's obviously not that great superstar, otherwise he wouldn't even be on free agency, but I would trust him to come in as a backup role, actually be a viable competition to Geno Smith and maybe Matt Sims. And if Geno somehow gets injured or sucks, and we can put in Matt Castle, and I can trust that Matt Castle will not throw the game away.
Here's my question. You're kind of saying that you're bringing Matt Castle in to be the backup. My question to you is, if you do sign a guy like Matt Castle, which I think is a solid idea, Do you make it an open competition the day he signs? Say, you know what, the best man wins starting day one. That's it. Do you do that, or you say it's Chino's job to lose?
Best man wins from day one. You can't have any more complacency, so to speak. I mean, if it's freaking the whole competition match each and every single day, then it has to be the best man wins. And my pastor comes in, lights it up in camp, lights it up in preseason, and go ahead and put him in there. Gina Smith does it, put him in it. I know Matt Sims does it, put him in. Put him in. So, yes, I would do the best man win.
All right, Jewel, listen, we're going to wrap this up with well, I'm going to give you a question, okay? You get to be the GM, all right? And here's your question for you. I'm going to give you a choice between two players, okay? You're on the defense. You get to have one. There are two free agents. You get to pick one. Brian Arakpo, who's the outside linebacker for the Washington Redskins now, is going to be a free agent. He might get franchised, but this is a hypothetical question. He's pretty good with the sacks, had over 10 sacks last year, 27. Or Jarius Byrd, the one you mentioned, the safety. So you're the GM. You're John Idzik. Your monies are comparable. Which one do you want and why?
It's really a push, but I would go with Jarius Byrd only because I feel as though we need a safety more than we need someone pass rushing to get what I'm saying. So, yes, Jarius Byrd.
All right, so you like Jarius Byrd. All right, Jude. Okay, well, congratulations. You made your first executive decision as the Jets general manager. But, Jude, listen, we really appreciate you starting off the year on a good foot, you know, calling in. You called in last year. You know, Tyson and I were really looking forward to a wonderful offseason. It should be very exciting. Jets have a lot of resources, so there should be a lot of things going on. And we always appreciate hearing from you. And, you know, let's just week by week see how it goes.
Okay. Have a good one.
All right, Jude. Yeah, good. Have a good night now, Jude. Take care. You know what, Tyson, I wanted to bring something up quick, and you were talking about the quarterbacks and stuff and the competition with Geno, and here's something interesting that kind of bothered me. At the end of the year press conference with John Idzik and Rex Ryan, they wouldn't name Geno as the starter for 2014. And, you know, the media was like all over them about it, and I still see things about it. Now, the funny thing is this, is a lot of people were upset that the Jets kind of anointed Mark Sanchez the starter and never really brought in serious competition for him. So my question to you is, which way do you like it? Because I've heard fans, media, you know, criticizing the Jets for not naming Geno the starter, but yet they used to criticize the Jets for anointing Sanchez.
Dennis, I'm going to piss off a lot of people with this comment, but I really don't care. I don't care. Listen, what Geno did last year, he learned. He learned on the job. He did the best he could. The Jets, they did what they did. This year, it's higher expectations. I bring in a legitimate competition. I don't mind bringing in Mike Vick. I don't mind bringing in Chad Henne, Matt Castle, Jason Campbell. I don't care who it is. I want a veteran quarterback that played last year that has the ability to get this done, beat out Geno Smith. I want a guy that can come in there, and if he play, like, let's be honest, if Mike Vick is healthy, he can beat out Geno Smith. That's just a fact. I don't care.
Really? What was his completion percentage last year, Michael Vick?
Dennis, you could give me all the stats you want. You could bring out every stat you want. We do it every year, but this player, that player. I think if you have a fair, the key word here is fair, a fair quarterback competition between Vick, I'd even say maybe Castle, too. I think these guys can beat Geno Smith out. And that's what I want. I mean, don't you want that? I don't mean the Sanchez and Geno Smith thing was a farce last year for a variety of reasons. But now it's like Geno showed improvement, but if he wants this job, earn the job. Like, I don't understand the notion of let's sign a quarterback to be the backup. Nonsense. I want to sign competition. I'll sign a guy like a Castle or whoever it may be. No Matt Schaub, though. I don't want nothing to do with him. And then draft one if you want to lead around and make it a legitimate competition. Best man wins, and that's it. I'm not worried about hurt feelings. I'm not worried about hindering Geno's development. I want to win games, period.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
I think there's your motto, Tyson, for the year. You know, you don't, we play to win the game. You just don't play to play it. But here's my problem. But let's do this first, hypothetical question for you. If you're Mark Sanchez's agent, okay, if you know the Jets are going to cut him, you know, this is why you're not renegotiating his contract. Do you think that this is a pretty weak free agent quarterback market? And if the Jets are going to cut Mark Sanchez, you want him on the open market because he can command a pretty good dollar. Do you, if you were his representation, would you think that?
Yes.
Okay. And this is my problem with bringing in a Michael Vick. Other teams are going to be bidding on a Michael Vick. How much money are you going to pay a guy? And I understand what you're saying, but how much money are you willing to pay? A lot of people talk about Josh McCown. And I know he had a very good year last year with the Chicago Bears in the games he filled in for Jay Cutler. But how many people heard of Josh McCown before last year? How many people know Josh McCown is 35 years old and has been in the league for like 9 years? Not many people. So, you know, Josh McCown is going to command quite a dollar, and then you're going to bring him in here, and, you know, Matt Cassel certainly didn't succeed in Kansas City, did he? So, I mean, this is what I'm concerned about. I personally think this, and now maybe I'm gonna make people mad, Tyson. Bring back David Garrard. Bring back David Garrard. Bring him back. Bring back David Garrard.
Dennis,
you know
Dennis,
what? Listen, you're going to sink or swim with Geno Smith. He goes, cause, I mean, you're going to sink or swim with Geno Smith. He's got to be your future. None of these guys are your future. Matt Cassel is not your future. Josh Freeman is not your future. Chad Henne, they've had their rides at the rodeo. They've proven that they're only viable backups. Michael Vick's 34. You know, I'm
Dennis,
sorry. You just it's going to be Geno Smith's job to lose. He's going to get all the reps in training in the offseason. He's going to work it. He's got to get in there. He's going to have more talent around him, and he's got to take the next step. And you know, the jury's out on him. And I'm not spending $5 million on a quarterback who's going to be just mediocre. Sorry, I that's the way I feel. But go ahead, Tyson. You can yell at me if you want.
No, I'm not going to yell at you. I understand the financial impact, and I agree Vic could command more. He may command $4 or $5 million a year. But, I mean, can't you get a guy – would you – will they give a guy like, say, let's see, Jason Campbell – well, Jason Campbell's not cut yet. But somebody like – a guy like that – I mean, I'm not opposed to Chad Henne at $2.5 million a year to come in and compete. Like, I don't understand why we have to give
him – Wait, Chad Henne got $7 million over the last 2 years from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why would he now get $2.5 million? He's going to get more. Again,
but
just like Mark Sanchez, these guys, I mean, a stiff like Ryan Fitzpatrick makes like $3.5 billion as a backup in Tennessee. Quarterbacks
Dennis,
make a lot of money.
My problem with this is that I understand what you're saying about the money aspect, but I would be pressed to say that some of these guys would have to be able to sign an incentive-laden contract saying, listen, we're going to give you $2.5 million to come here. If you win the starting job and you start 12 of these games, you're making $6 million this year. I mean, my problem was with this. If you hand the team to Geno and say, okay, you're going to go with starting reps and you bring in, say, a Curtis Painter for whatever reason, that's your backup. If Geno goes in the tank and melts down and doesn't take a step he wants to take, I don't want a lost season. Max Sims is an unknown. I don't want to go through an unknown season. I want a guy that can play. And I understand your David Garrard point, but, dude, I mean – He has to play. I wanted that to play last year.
But,
I mean,
but Michael Vick, I mean, Michael Vick got beat up by Nick Foles. Josh McCown didn't get re-signed. He might get signed by the Bears. I don't know. Matt Cassel didn't exactly, again, light it up with the Chiefs. He didn't light it up with the Vikings. Josh Freeman fell right on his face, right, the whole season. The Vikings paid him all this money to come in, you know, a few games in after the Buccaneers let him go, and he didn't do anything. Sean Hill. I don't know. Chad Henne, I mean, is he much – I mean, I'm looking at it like this. Geno Smith, could he be a franchise quarterback? I don't know. I don't know yet. Last year is not a fair assessment of Geno Smith. You can't just throw him away and say, that's it. Because remember that three-game skid he had? And it looked like he was – he sort of rebounded from that, and he gave you hope. But I got to find out what this guy is. This year is going to be more of an accurate assessment of what Geno Smith is. And I can't have one game where I panic and I sit him on the bench because, you know what, if the Giants had done that to Eli Manning, maybe they don't win two Super Bowls. I need a guy who's young, who I can build around for years to come, not a stopgap guy right now. I'm sorry, that's the way I feel, Tyson, and maybe we'll move on, and I hear your point, but I'm not investing a lot of money in a backup quarterback who's just mediocre. If Geno Smith is that bad, they get beat up by a mediocre backup, the team's going to stink anyway. Buy Rex, start all over, go draft a new quarterback in 2015. The
Jameis
Winston count begins.
I don't agree with that at all. I mean, if you're going to have – if the Jets add the required playmakers they want on defense, like a quality safety and an outside linebacker, I mean, this defense will keep you in games. So you're not – I'm not looking to bring in Aaron Rodgers. I'm looking – if Geno Smith is having one of those games where he's 8-for-21 and looks like a deer in headlights, I want to bring in a guy that wins that game for us. Matt Sims can't do that. I mean, far. We know he can't do that, or we don't know what he can do. I want to know that, you know what, a Michael Vick or a Castle, they can read defenses. More than can say, you know what, I know what you can do, I know what you can't do, read a defense, manage this game, and get us this win. Geno doesn't have it today. I don't want to throw away games. There's no reason to, especially with this defense that potentially could be a top-10 defense with the right pieces. Why waste the season? Why waste games by saying, you know what, Geno had an off game, he's still learning. I don't want to do that anymore.
Well, all quarterbacks have off games, so listen, you have a different philosophy. You're saying, I'm willing to go out and get the best backup quarterback that I can, the cost, I'm willing to spend a little bit more money for a backup, and I feel that's more important. To me, personally, I don't think it's as important to me that you have a competition, again, phony competition. I think it's Geno's job to lose, and he would have to go out there and really stink it up to lose it, and the season would be lost anyway. But let's move on from the quarterback thing for a minute, because it's going to be a hot topic for a while, obviously, until we start getting into mini camp and see who the Jets acquire and what kind of team they're going to have and see how Geno is progressing. Why don't we look at some free agents that are on the Jets now? Now, obviously, you spoke with Joel Curry. I know you did some writing with Joel Curry, and we're going to hopefully have Joel on in a few weeks to do some. Joel's a writer for National Football Post. He writes for CBS Sports. I suggest you follow him. He's Corey Joel, C-O-R-R-Y, Joel, one word, on Twitter. And he's a contracts expert. And, you know, he has the Jets right now, the salary cap room, at about $17 million. And that's not with releasing Holmes and Sanchez. So, you know, you're looking at about, what would it be, $32 million or so. But the Jets do have some free agents to sign, and I wanted to discuss them a little bit. How about our friend Lijay Douzebal first? What do you think the Jets might offer him? Because, you know, Lijay, I mean, did a nice job, but a role player. Maybe a veteran's minimum deal? Is that what you would offer Lijay?
He's going to get more than that, unfortunately, Dennis. That's the problem. Like, I like him a lot. I like what he brings to the table. But you almost have, like, a stockpile of defensive linemen then, because you have Damon Harrison, you have Kendrick Ellis who's still there, who, you know, battles injuries, but, you know, you have all these guys. And then you have how much money can you allocate to the line? And I think based on his performance last year, I think he's going to get more than that, don't you think?
Well, you know, what were his statistics? I think he had 20 tackles and 1.5 sacks. I mean, he's not – I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Lijay is great. He was on our show. I think he did a great job, and he fits his defense well. And he's terrific in the defense. He can play any position. He does a nice job when he comes in. 20 tackles and 1.5 sacks. Yes, I was correct. So, but I'm just wondering, a guy like that on the open market, is he really going to command? He's not going to command a lot of money. I mean, he is what he is. He's a nice role player. He fits his defense. So, I mean, if you're his agent, does it behoove you maybe to take a hair less money and say, look, you're in a really good situation moving forward, and or try to test the open market, maybe take a little bit more money and not be in quite as good a situation? That's the way I feel. I'm just wondering if John Idzik is just going to say, look, here's your veteran's minimum with the fully guaranteed money that we can give you and still meet the veteran minimum requirements, which would cost the Jets $635,000 on the salary cap, but Lijay would make $805,000. So, you know, I'm just wondering if that would be the case. It might actually be a little bit more. I'm not sure if he's got 6 or 7 years accrued, so it might be about $900,000. So work with those two numbers, maybe $800,000-$900,000 in his pocket. Do you think that he would accept that?
I mean, I wish he would. If he did, I'd do it. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, teams are looking for, especially now you have Pettine. I mean, Pettine's up there in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. These guys are all looking for versatile linemen. So I'm not so sure he won't get some money elsewhere. I mean, if he takes that contract, it's a benefit to the Jets and Idzik. I mean, that'd be a Rex Ryan sales pitch, I think, in my eyes.
Okay. All right. Well, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, he obviously is not getting franchised or anything like that. So if he wants to go to unrestricted free agency, he can. And he's an interesting one because, you know, he's not going to command big dollars, and you wonder how much the Jets are willing to put into him. And like you said, Kendrick Ellis, maybe go other places. I certainly hope Lijay ends up back with the Jets. So I'm going to move on right now, and I'm going to go on to Darren Walls, who's a restricted free agent. Just so everybody knows, restricted free agents, they can be tendered. And what a tender is basically is just a contract offer, and the team has some rights then to that player. And I'm not going to go through the whole rigmarole. There's different types of tenders. But a restricted free agent almost never moves. So, you know, there's basically no restricted free agent market. I talked a little bit about Emmanuel Sanders getting signed by the New England Patriots, and then the Steelers matched the contract. So a guy like Darren Walls, if he is tendered, which he'll probably get the lowest tender, which is about $1.4 million. But Tyson, I wanted to ask you this. Do you think, because Darren kind of fell out of favor a little bit towards the end of the year, do you think the Jets tendered Darren Walls, or do you think they just let him go to free agency and just try to re-sign him at his minimum?
I think they're going to let him try to test free agency. I think towards the end of the season, he may have been a little bitter about his lack of playing time. I mean, it's just, I think, he, you know, I mean, I like to see him come back. He can never have enough good cornerbacks, especially with injuries and the unknown. But I think, I don't think they're going to tender him then. I think they're going to let him test the market and see what happens. Because they also like a lot of the other young corners, too. So, I mean, what do you think? I have a funny feeling they're going to let him walk, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think what they're going to do is they're going to let him go to free agency, and then they're going to try to sign him back at his minimum, whatever his minimum would be. I could take a peek at that right now. Would be $645,000 and bring him into camp. If he had nowhere else to go, look, you got a 90-man roster in the offseason. So you try to fill all 90 spots. So he could certainly come back to them. But you're right. My feeling is the same. They're going to let him walk to free agency. Two other restricted free agents who I think will both get tendered are Garrett McIntyre and Nick Ballore. I do think that maybe, just maybe, McIntyre might get a second-round tender because he does play some defense. I don't think so, but I was wrong about Austin Howard last year. I didn't think he was going to get it. So if I had to pick one to get the higher tender, which would mean that a team, if they tried to sign him, would have to give the Jets a second-round draft pick as compensation, would be McIntyre. But I think both Ballore and McIntyre, given their versatility on special teams and McIntyre playing a little bit of defense at the outside linebacker position, will be tendered. What do you think of that, Tyson?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you 100% on that, especially with McIntyre. I think the Jets value his flexibility, so I think they'll definitely tender him. And Ballore, I mean, they may draft linebackers this year for the first time in forever, so but I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, you know, I think that Ballore led the team in tackles, special team tackles, and his tender would be $1.4 million. I mean, it's not like you're breaking the bank. Nobody's going to try to steal him from you. So I think they're going to tender him and play it safe. Here's a guy who's an unrestricted free agent, and I did an article on him, and it's interesting. I want to get your take on him. Nick Folk. You know, here's the thing with kickers, and I wrote this in the article, is that, you know, guys like Robbie Gold and from the Bears and Danny Bailey from the Cowboys got pretty big contracts for kickers. You know, pretty big contracts. And Folk, maybe not quite as good at kickers, the numbers, everything long term, but had a very good year last year, a lot of big kicks, and he's played under the last two seasons a minimum contract. So this year he might want to get paid. You know, he might say, hey, you know what, guys, I want to get paid. And the big question mark here is always the kind of tug of war between, yeah, I want this kicker, but I don't want to pay him too much because it costs me other places. But, you know, here's the funny thing. If the Jets let Folk walk and he stinks and the guy they bring in is great, everybody will cheer and be happy, and Izik's a genius. If it's the other way around, everyone will cry and say, why didn't Izik re-sign Folk? It's like, it's almost like you're in a no-win situation.
Yeah, but in this case, I like to go with the known rather than the unknown. I mean, and every year they just put pressure on him, and he's coming up. He's coming up big. I mean, last year was a horrible year. I mean, like sometimes this is like, for me, this is the known. So especially with the Rex Ryan style of, you know, the defense, where there's potentially being close games and this and that, and how many clutch kicks has he made? I mean, he's earned his money in my eyes. This is one of the guys that kind of like, you know what, you're paying for past performance. He's a kicker, and he's been reliable, and he's been clutch. So, I mean, how much do you pay him? That's the question. I mean, Dennis, what do you think, $2.5 million, something like that? I mean, you don't break the bank for him, but you show him some good faith. Like, listen, we've given you competition. You beat him out every year. Now it's like you had a Pro Bowl year. We're going to reward you for it. I mean, don't you think, for a kicker, I think that's kind of way you handle it, no?
Yeah, you know, I definitely don't think he's taking a minimum deal. I mean, 2.5, maybe a little less, maybe again, maybe you give him a 3-year deal, and again, you can always use the signing bonus, and then if, you know, 2 years down the line, you cut him, you take the dead money hit, this kind of thing. So, you know, I definitely think that I hear what you're saying about the known versus the unknown. He knows how to kick in MetLife. He had a really good season last year. I mean, he had to make a lot of kicks. The offense stalled a lot of times, and he was the offense. So I would hate to see him leave, and it is a tug of war with the amount of money. But I think ultimately he stays. I think the Jets do the right thing, pay him, and I think he's fair too. I think he's fair minded. He wants to stay, and if you give him like a 3-year deal, and he thinks he can play through the whole thing at a decent average, he'll stay and he'll play under that contract. Again, sometimes guys go other places and they end up not liking it or not being successful and they get cut, and then they don't end up with the monies that they thought they were going to get. So sometimes being in a situation you're familiar with in the long run, that's kind of the Ligier thing I'm looking at too, ends up making you better off than you would have been, even making a little bit more money on the front end. So the last guy I want to get to, and we're kind of running out of the hour here, and Tyson, again, another great hour at Jet Nation Radio. It's so wonderful to be back with you talking Jets football. It's going to be a wonderful year. I mean, it's unlike last year where we were kind of talking about, you know, how can we just kind of prepare ourselves for 2014. And now it is 2014, and there are going to be a lot of things going on with our New York Jets. But the last guy I want to ask you about is Austin Howard. And, you know, I think that a three-year deal of $15 million with $5 million guarantee would bring him back. Do you think that you would be accommodating to that kind of contract, maybe a hair more, or is that too much? I mean, the Jets do have Ben Agelana, right, and they have Ode Abouche, and they have Will Campbell, guys they kept on the roster all year. They kept them all on the roster. I guess Abouche is the tackle who would replace him. So if he got a little pricey, you could maybe look to replace him there. So what's your thought on Austin Howard?
This is a tough one because I like to have continuity on offensive line, and you figure it could be losing Willie Colon as well. So if you lose Colon and you lose him, it's like your whole right side. So it's like, man, that's a tough one. I kind of want to bring him back. I didn't know if I would say this, but to me, I guess it's like if you don't pay him, who's his replacement? You're talking about Abouche, a guy that would say – he wasn't even active last year, so it's like,
no.
You don't want to, like, for some cases, like with Nick Folk, you don't want to get penny wise and dollar foolish. I mean, sometimes you have to pay for talent that you want to keep. I mean, is Austin Howard that guy? I mean, if it's not him, then who is it? Do you draft somebody? I mean, the Jets could use a draft for other needs. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards giving that kind of money. I mean, I never thought I'd say that, but I kind of feel that way. Especially, you know, he rated pretty well in some situations. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I just think he's 26. The jury was out on him last year. I thought that 2012 he gave too many sacks. I've actually stood next to Austin Howard, and when you stand next to him, he looks like what you envision a right tackle. I mean, he's a mammoth of a man. He's 6'7", 300 plus. I mean, and he's all of it. Long arms, you know, big hands, and I think the Jets, you know, he fits their system. I think they got to bring him back. You're right, continuity in the line. Obviously, you know, everybody has a price. I think the Jets will work something out. I think he wants to stay here. I think that kind of contract gets it done. And you know what? I see, obviously, DeBrickashaw, you got Nick Mangold coming back. We'll see what happens left guard. I still think Brian Winters, you know, had his growing pains but can be a serviceable left guard. And we'll see what happens with right guard. You know, they might go out and get a stopgap. Marshall Yanda, he might be a cap casualty of the Baltimore Ravens. You know,
yep.
That might be a guy, if he's cut. Again, here's the thing that we don't know right now, which is these cap casualties. He's 29. I mean, he's a pretty good right guard. Rex knows Baltimore. You know, he knows Marshall Yanda. He might be a guy you can bring in at a reasonable price. He's a pretty solid right guard. So, I mean, let's see what happens there with the right guard position. But I'm in favor of bringing back Austin and, you know, giving him a fair contract, which the one that I laid out I think is pretty fair. And I'm going to wrap up with this one. I have one more for you here. And it's Ed Reed. And here's what I'm saying about Ed Reed. Okay? And here's the thing with Ed Reed. Obviously, he's getting a minimum contract because he's 36 years old. And the other thing with Ed Reed is this. If he comes back, he has to be a role player. He has to understand his role. His role is to be a mentor. His role is to play an X, Y, and Z package when we need you. You're not a starter anymore. You're limited to these abilities if he even makes the team. You know what I'm saying? But they do have an issue with safety. So I wouldn't have a problem with them signing him to a minimum deal and bringing him into camp and seeing if he can be a role player and be a mentor because, you know, a guy like D. Milner, I think, definitely benefited from having Ed Reed around.
Well, this is a good question. The one thing you heard about, everybody said Antonio Anna, all these guys, they were like sponges. They just followed him around. They learned how to study film better. They practiced better, all these things, which is wonderful. But, I mean, if you sign a Jarris Bird, you don't need Ed Reed. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of means, like, who else are we bringing to safety? Like, Ed Reed's like, to me, this is going to sound weird, but he's like a luxury item. If you sign other quality safeties, he's out of here. I mean, it's like he can't be like your savior for your safety position. You know what I mean? He's a nice to have, but I mean, seriously, it's if you want to bring a mentor in, you know, bring a Jarris Bird in or somebody.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying this Tyson, I think Jairus Bird is going to get franchised at worst by the Bills. I believe that. Okay, I believe Jairus Bird is not going to be available. Neither is T.J. Ward. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. You're not going to just bring him in just to be a nice guy. You have to have a roster spot for him. If there's a place for him, let's say they draft a safety, a young safety, they go with Allen, they keep Landry. Even if they go out in free agency, guess maybe they carry five safeties. A guy I wrote at R was Louis Delmas from Detroit might be cut. He had a pretty good season last year. Somebody wrote me, yuck. Yep. But I said, look, I mean, here's a guy who had a pretty good season last year in Detroit who might become available, who maybe you could get on a short-term deal and just bring him in as a stopgap while the rookie learns, and then maybe you can bring Ed Reed in and have him be on the team and not use up the roster spot. I hear what you're saying. So basically, the stars have to align in the right order for Ed Reed to be on the team. But if that were to happen, you know, would you be in favor of that given the presence that he brings?
I would be in favor of it. I mean, like you said, veteran minimum, knowing his role, not taking over all the snaps from, like, Antonio. And, like towards the end of the season, he started playing kind of well. He had his interceptions and things like that. But his time has come and gone. I mean, maybe in the offseason he gets healthier, he feels better, he loses some weight, you know, like, things like that. But, I mean, I would really prefer to go a different direction and just get younger, get a physical safety back there, like, hit. You know, it's just – but, Dennis, I'm telling you right now, I just have a funny feeling he's coming back. I just had that funny feeling.
Well, in Rex and Isaac we trust. Well, listen, Tyson, you know, first of all, you know, thank you for another wonderful hour of Jet Nation Radio. I want to thank Steve for working the switchboard. I want to thank the two callers, Mike and Jude, that we had tonight. It's great to be back. Tyson and I are really looking forward to this season. We think it's going to be very exciting. There's so many things surrounding this team, good things, positive things, which is a little bit different than what's been going on the last few years. Last year, a little bit of a watershed year. You knew it was going to be. But, you know, the ship seems to be sailing in the right direction. Let's see how it goes. But Tyson and I are going to try to bring you some great guests, from media members to experts, whether it's on contracts like a Joel Curry, to draft experts when the draft rolls around, to guests of former players, to current players. I mean, we're going to bring you the whole gambit of, you know, entertainment that we can bring you here on Jet Nation Radio that you're not going to be able to hear anywhere else. And we do appreciate, you know, the emails we got while we were off, and we're really glad to be back. So, Tyson, it's just wonderful to be back. And there are some listeners from overseas, Tyson, that we're going to try to get on the show, just so you know. Couple of listeners that I've been in contact with, and we're going to try to get them on the show. Maybe we have to record them and bring them on because they're overseas and they can't call in live. But they would love to get an opportunity to just kind of have a quick conversation. So hopefully we can get that done in the near future as well.
Yeah, Dennis, I agree. It's been great. It's great to be back. And like you mentioned earlier, I appreciate all the emails, the tweets, everybody that sends us, all the comments. And going forward, anybody has people they want us to talk about or subjects they want to talk about, tweet us, send us messages. I mean, you know, the more the merrier, or call in and talk about it. I mean, it's an interactive show. I love talking to everybody. So the more Jets talk, the better off we are.
Yeah, just quickly, I'll give you the Twitter handle. It's at Jet Nation Radio. The main site is at Jet Nation. Our email is jnradio@jetnation.com. So for Tyson Rausch, this is Dennis Agapito. Jet Nation, we'll see you next week at 8 o'clock.